Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is a gospel lesson for this morning, also the words of St. John, reading in chapter 15, the first 8 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He is going to cut off. And he prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so that it will bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I am going to remain in you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Likewise, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him is the one who bears much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you continue to bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. This is the word of our Lord. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave the great I ams through the Gospel of John. The house I grew up in sat on 2.5 acres of land outside the city limits. We had enough room that we had a big garden and a small fruit orchard. We also, behind the garage, had a pretty good size grape arbor. And every year, my cousins and I would go out and we would sit in the shade of that great arbor and enjoy those fat, purple, juicy grapes that hung down there from the branches. My dad loved that grape arbor and lovingly tended it every year. Every year, he would go out and with his loppers, he would cut off the dead branches that were no good because they weren't bearing any fruit. But then he would also prune back, trim back the branches that had produced fruit. And after he did that, sure enough, they produced even more fruit. This is the way it is with Jesus. Who teaches in that great, I am the vine, you are the branches statement. The true vine produces fruitful branches. Jesus is the vine. We Christians are the branches that bear fruit. The grapevine is like the trunk of a tree. All the moisture, all the nourishment for the branches comes from and through the vine and goes out into the branches, not the other way around. It's not the branches' job to carry the moisture and the nutrients. It's the branches' job to bear the fruit. And so Jesus, in using this great I am statement, says, literally, I am the vine, the true one. My new spiritual life, your new spiritual life, exchange for our being dead in trespasses and sins, comes through Christ, the true vine. It comes through his life. A life that he regained after offering his righteousness as sacrifice on the cross to pay that debt that we owed to God. Jesus doesn't say, oh, I'm like the vine. He says, I am the vine. The picture is not in the verb, it's in the noun, in the metaphor. Jesus is the one through whom we gain all life, through whom we gain all spiritual nourishment. As our Savior, the living Word, comes to us in the gospel, in the Word of God. That new life we have is the forgiveness of our sins, the connection that God gives us as He grafts us into the vine as His branches is what gives us that new spiritual life. Faith attaches us to Christ for eternal life in heaven rather than eternal death in hell. Jesus does not want you to lose that connection, because apart from Him, we can do nothing. And so Jesus talks about that connection in the imperative. Remain in Me, and I am going to remain in you. Now, that's a thought that didn't we have a few weeks ago when we confirmed our young people? Confirmation is about the promise, isn't it, that they made, and that we made in confirmation, to do just that very thing, to remain in Christ. And as we do that, He remains in our hearts. He remains in us through His Word, the gospel that is preached. It is as we are attached to that true vine that we are, Jesus says, already clean through the word that He speaks to us. The Greek word there for clean is one that you recognize. It's catharsis. A catharsis is a cleansing of mind. It's a cleansing of thought and of spirit. So in Christ, our experience is cathartic. It's cleansing. It's purifying as we receive those wonderful blessings through Christ. Paul wrote about this to the Ephesians, applying it particularly to baptism. Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the Word. We are clean already, because Jesus' righteousness is ours through the gospel. We are holy in God's sight. On my dad's grape arbor, behind the garage, that he watered and that he fertilized and that he nourished, healthy, strong vines produced healthy, strong branches. And those branches produced abundant fruit. So Jesus Christ, the true vine, produces us Christians as fruitful branches. The human gardener or vine dresser helps also the vines that are producing by pruning them and trimming them. He cuts off the dead ones, because they're not bearing any fruit and they're thrown in a pile and burned up because they're useless. But the ones that are producing, He prunes and they produce even more. God the Father helps His Son make us into healthier, more fruitful branches. God the Father is the gardener, or the vine dresser of this parable. The vine's purpose, as I said, is to extend branches. The branch's purpose is to produce good fruit. Attached to Christ by faith, we grow to be those good branches. We Christians bear the fruits of love for God and for each other. Those fruits are the thoughts and actions that we produce to extend to our neighbors, yes, even to our enemies. Love for God, your love for me, my love for you, is impossible without our connection to Christ. Because it is His love, as the vine transfers life to the branches to bear that fruit, it is Christ's love that is transferred to us through faith to produce that fruit of love even against with our enemies. And we produce all these fruits to Jesus' glory. No branch can glory in its fruits. No branch can say, well, the fruit's ripeness, the fruit's usefulness, the fruit's health, that's all up to me. It's up to the vine to which we are connected. With our attachment to Christ, we love God and we love one another, all to God's glory. And in order for us to produce even more fruits of faith, the Father, the vine dresser, prunes us branches. Christians are the branches that bear good fruit. I often have mentioned that when we lived in Washington State, that you could see literally orchards as far as the eye would take your vision. In one direction, up against the foothills of the Cascades, and in the others, miles and miles and miles along the Columbia River. And I remember I asked one of my orchardists, who was a member of my congregation, how can you tell which of those orchards are going to bear the most and the best fruit? And do you know what his answer was? You can tell by the way that the orchardist prunes. If he prunes and cuts really well, if he removes the dead branches and prunes back the fruitful branches, if he does a good job of that, then you can tell that those are the trees that really are going to produce more and more every year. And that's true also of grape arbors. And it's true also of olive trees. God the Father does that pruning and that trimming. And how does He do that? He does it through loving discipline. He does it through loving chastening in our lives. In other words, we don't always get exactly what we want when we want it. We don't always get what other people get, even though we think we should have it. Sometimes God takes things away from us. Our health, our prosperity, other ease of life. God lays those crosses on us of pain, heartache, suffering, and so forth. All of those are part of the pruning process. It's not that we're not bearing fruits as Christians, but God wants us to be more fruitful. And so He prunes us and trims us. Now it's important to understand that the pruning and the trimming isn't what makes us stronger. The suffering and the pain and the heartache and the difficulty and all the crosses that we bear, they don't do anything to strengthen our faith in Christ. They simply remove the obstacles so that as we are left, when that word comes, that nourishing, strengthening, life-giving word of the gospel comes, then it comes into us even more so. And that is what strengthens our faith. That through that vine of Christ, He gives us that strength to bear ever more abundant fruit. It is the good news of God's unconditional love in Jesus that we heard in our second lesson. And I hope you caught how similar our second lesson is to the gospel. Because in both, John, the same writer, talks about us remaining in Christ and his remaining in us, and then us producing these fruits of love. My orchardist, when I was out in Washington, or I think of my dad with his grape arbor, he always realized that it was to God's glory that those things produced fruit. I mean, when a real tree bears real fruit, isn't that to God's glory? His glory as the creator, the glory as the preserver of all things. Well, if that's true with plants, how much more is that true with us? We are the fruitful branches that produce the fruits of love. But who gets the glory for that? To whose glory are those fruits? Not to ours, but we give all the glory to God because he produces them in us. Jesus, or rather the writer to the Hebrew Christian said, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. However, later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." So that pruning trains us, and then the gospel gives us strength to bear more fruit. If the branches attached to the grapevine back there on Stickney Avenue could have spoken when my father took his pruning shears to them, they would have cried out, "Ouch, that hurts. What are you doing?" But later on, when those same branches produced these huge, juicy, ripe, Concord grapes that my mother made jam and jelly out of, not wine, unfortunately, although that would have been appropriate, those very same grapes would have said to my dad, "Wow, thank you, vine dresser, for doing that, because you've produced us to be even better in the purpose for which God has placed us on this earth." We heard in our lesson today, in our first lesson, about Philip, who bore that fruit of faith of sharing Christ with that Gentile Ethiopian. And Jesus said, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Philip gave glory and showed glory to the Father by sharing God's word with his Ethiopian. Many call him the first Gentile to ever be converted after Jesus' ascension into heaven. But it was to God's glory that that word continues to go out into the world. Jesus said, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." It's true, and we confess and admit, that our fruit is at times a little wormy. At times it has some bad spots in it. That's our incomplete and insufficient sanctification. But God continues to nourish us, continues to water us with the gospel, continues to trim and to prune us so that we don't die, so that we don't become completely fruitless. And he enables us to recognize and see that as the amount and the kind of my fruit might vary in my own life, or with other people's, it doesn't matter. Because the glory doesn't go to them. The glory doesn't go to me as I grow in my sanctification. as I grow in my fruits of love and faith, the glory goes to our God, who nourishes us, who strengthens us, who enables us to bear those fruits. We are all branches attached to our Savior who declares, I am the vine, the true one. And we're glad and thankful, aren't we, that His Father is always working on us to make us ever more fruitful to His glory. Amen.